And then in the other hand, we will hit Joshua chapter 15. Hopefully this won't be too boring of a study. I know sometimes, well, a lot of the times we, you know, being in church for a long time, you get a lot of repetition through the years, you know, and so hopefully this won't be too bad. 1 Kings chapter 11, we'll read this first, verse 1. It says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abominations of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods." Now that's a lot of altars. That is a lot of idolatry for Solomon to go into. In my opinion, I know idolatry was around, obviously before the kings, but I think that Solomon near the end of his life really kind of opened up the floodgates for idolatry in Israel. If you will go to Joshua 15 now, it's going to seem a little weird. Doesn't really seem to have much of a connection, but I'm kind of wanting to hit one main thing tonight. We'll see if it works out that way. But in Joshua chapter 15, you have the land is being divided up. Of course, Moses dies, Joshua takes over, and he leads the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, and they have gone on their conquest. They have driven out quite a bit of the inhabitants, but not all of them are driven out, and so they're dividing up the land now. And in chapter 15, verse 8, it says this. It says, "And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom, unto the south side of Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward." So you have Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem. So the Jebusites were the ones that dwelt in the land of Jerusalem, okay? So there is that. And then also, just kind of as a side note, notice what it says at the end of the verse. And I don't know if there's any connection. Well, there probably is, but I can't really prove it beyond this. But it says, "which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward." So the giants, you guys, we went through that a couple weeks ago. My dad went through that in Psalms. So there's that. And then also go to look at verse 63. Look at verse 63 as well. It says, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell in the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." Now go to chapter 18, and let's look at verse 16. "And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusi on the south, and descended to En-Rogel." Now, in Joshua, it talks about the valley of Hinnom, and that's kind of what I want to look at tonight, and all that surrounds the valley of Hinnom. But if you were to look at Jerusalem, you would have, if you had the Temple Mount, you had on the east side, you had this valley, and it was Hinnom, and it kind of comes around. And then on the other side, you have Kedron, the Kedron Valley, and those meet up, okay? And so just to kind of give you an idea of where that's at, so the Hinnom Valley and the Kedron Valley are just right outside Jerusalem. They're right there, okay? So now with that being said, I'm going to kind of go back to back onto to Solomon in 2 Kings 11. You guys don't have to turn there, but so Solomon kind of, again, I think he kind of opens the floodgates for idolatry in Israel as far as the kings go, because there was some idolatry that went on in the time of Saul. So Saul was, of course, the first king. You guys remember when Saul was trying to find out the Lord's will on what he should do with the battle. He wound up, he wasn't getting any answers from the Lord, from the Urim, for the Thummim, right? He wasn't getting any answers, so he went to the witch of Endor, right? And of course, he was supposed to have destroyed, his command was to destroy all the witches, so she wasn't even supposed to be there. So there was some idolatry going on, but other than that, Saul messed up big time, but his mess ups were with the Lord, right? And doing things that he shouldn't have done as far as going into the tabernacle, trying to make sacrifices himself, right? But it wasn't necessarily that he was committing witchcraft, per se, except for that one occasion that I can see. But anyways, so from the beginning of, not from the beginning of time, but from the beginning of when the children of Israel led out of Egypt into the wilderness, the Lord is always warning them against idolatry. He is always warning them not to serve other gods, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? So, and the Lord is always hitting that. As Israel was preparing for the conquest of the land of Canaan, the Lord kept warning them. Go to Exodus 23. So all the way back in Exodus, they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. The Lord is trying to prepare them. And just, look at some of the warnings that the Lord has from. Exodus 23, and let's look at verse 22. It says this. And this is, again, talking about going into the land. It says, "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice," the angel of the Lord, "and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go in before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites," that's Jerusalem, "and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God." So again, he gives this very stern warning, and he does this over and over. Next book over, go to Leviticus. Go to Leviticus chapter 18. So the Lord, he just warns them, don't bow down to their gods. Don't do what they do. Leviticus chapter 18, it says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God." Right? I am the Lord your God. I am your God. "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." So the children of Israel, they come out of the wilderness, they go into the wilderness. Moses goes up on the mountain. And what happens? Israel makes a golden calf. Why would you make a golden calf? Because they learned things in Egypt. They worship cows there. They learned something while they were in Egypt. And the Lord says, listen, you've got things in your mind, and Lord, I don't want you doing this stuff. And so the Lord tells them, stay away from the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt. I don't want you to do those. And then he says, and now you're going to go into a land, and I don't want you to do anything that they're doing in the land. And so, again, the Lord, he doesn't want any of that, the worship going to another god, and there's a reason for that. But he does not, the reason why is because he does not want his children to wind up committing the same abominations as the Canaanites, okay? Go back to Exodus 23. Go back to Exodus 23. So just notice what the Canaanites do. This is what the Canaanites do. This is what the Lord does to the Canaanites. I messed that up. Verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee. At the end of the verse, and I will cut them off. Verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and shall and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away the sickness from thee. Look at verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. Verse 30, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out. Thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. And so, because of the sins of these Canaanites, the Lord then decided, I'm done with them. You guys remember I think it was in Genesis, at one point the Lord says that the, what did he say about the Amorites? It's not yet full. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And so the Lord has this thing where the iniquity builds up, and the Lord is, as you have Genesis and Exodus, and all through that time, you have those inhabitants, and their iniquity is just building up and building up, and the Lord is tolerating it, and he's tolerating it, and pretty soon he says, I am done. Whatever they did in that land was bad enough for the Lord to go in and have them wiped out or driven out, okay? And so the Lord, it was that bad. Now, that might seem pretty harsh. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving troll freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. That was said by the beloved Charles Dawkins in his book, The God Delusion. And I guess kind of what started some of this, why there was, you know, I was reading in Psalms, and actually I forgot to write that in my notes, so we'll have to hit that, but I was reading in Psalms, and actually, just go there. Go to Psalms 106. I don't know about you, but when I hear somebody make fun of the Bible or make fun of God, God is my witness. It makes my blood boil. It makes me so mad. And part of that is just because... they're blinded. The God of this world has blinded them. They are willingly ignorant of things, and you want to defend the Lord. And listen, the Lord doesn't need somebody to defend him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he can take care of himself. But it makes you want to stand up and say some things and just say, "Do you even realize what you're saying? You know, why would the Lord drive those people out? And in fact, why would the Lord then allow something to happen to his own people?" Verse 28, it says this, it says Israel, it says, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them. Verse 33, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works and served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring after their own inventions. Listen, that's what they learned. That's what they learned when they went into the land of Canaan and they didn't drive them out or they didn't kill them. So I guess the question, you know, you think about it, and if you were to listen to one of those guys or you were to listen to somebody, a Christian who is ignorant of the Bible and would fall into the line of thinking as far, along with Charles Dawkins, you kind of sit there and think, well, what's wrong with a little idolatry, right? I mean, it's bad, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning it, but I mean, okay, so worshiping a false god, like, that's bad, but, like, really? Is it really cause to do what you've done to these people, Lord? And the answer, of course, is yes. It is, right? I mean, it is. But in Exodus 32, or 23, verse 32, I already read it, but in verse 32 it says this, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Now, it's kind of interesting because the covenants are also made with their gods. And something that's interesting is, you know, somebody creates a god, right? And they will fashion it. They will either carve a tree, they will get a stone, and they will carve their god out of it, right? And here's the thing, and I don't really understand all that, but they can worship an inanimate object, right? But what's scary is that thing that they're worshiping takes on a spirit. And it takes on a wicked spirit. And the reason why I say that is because you now have, and I don't know how many of these are actually legitimate or not, but it wouldn't surprise me that you now have these stone statues of Mary crying, right? You have these weird things happening, and I don't know a lot about that stuff, but you have these supposed, you know, these sightings of Mary crying blood or crying oil or something like that. And I mean, honestly, it's probably a hoax, but it wouldn't surprise me, because that thing can take on a spirit. And it's of course, it's a wicked spirit, but also it says that they made covenants with other gods, and the reason why that's bad is because all of a sudden now, those gods have requirements. And, you know, we look at this and we think, and the prophets of the Bible, they make fun of these people that bow down to these stocks, and they get mocked for it, and they should. But again, those things, they can take on a spirit. And go to Hosea chapter 4. Go to Hosea chapter 4. Look what happens. Hosea chapter 4 in verse 12. Look what the Lord says about Israel. He says, my people ask counsel at their stocks. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. But it says that their staff declares unto them. So they're getting answers back. That's the weird thing. And if you remember, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but at one point in Ezekiel, it's talking about the king of Babylon. And he's trying to get an answer, and he goes to the crossroads, and he brightens his arrows, he does something else, and then the Bible says he looked in the liver. So again, he's trying to get answers from another spirit, and he's getting them. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. So again, you have a god, and it can a false god. It can take on a spirit. But then in verse 9, Deuteronomy 18, 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after their abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among any among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You guys want to know why just a little bit of idolatry is wrong? It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. You're straight up worshiping the devil. Which, again, kind of brings you back to that whole statue of the Queen of Heaven. That's, what are you doing? You're worshiping a devil. Let's see. Look at verse 12. For all that do these are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. And so the Lord says, hey, listen, if you're not careful, this is what you're going to turn out to do. And so because of the Canaanites, I mean, guys, look at verse 10. This one, then this is kind of what this whole thing is about. And it's so disgusting. And thou shalt not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. How in the world could somebody be brought to that? Which is a little weird because America is actually not that far behind, right? We just do it before they get out. I mean, that's the only small thing. But the Lord says, listen, I want you to get out of there. And so, listen, so the Lord, he drove them out. Leviticus 18:24, for all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And so the Lord, when the time of the Amorites, with the iniquity of the Amorites was full, the Lord says, okay, I'm going to destroy them. And I mean, he kind of goes scorched earth on them. And he just destroys them because they are so wicked. And he doesn't want their sin to spread anywhere. It's that vile. And this is just really, I mean, we could go into a lot more filthy things too. So the Lord punished them. Now, from the reigning of the kings of Israel, right, through Saul and David, again, I said this, but Solomon was the one that really brought in idolatry. Now, when Solomon was reigning, when he was done reigning in 975 BC, his idolatry was so egregious to the Lord that the kingdom split, and the Lord rent 10 tribes from David. And that kingdom split apart. You have Jeroboam who comes in. And, I mean, it's just a slippery slope because you have Jeroboam coming in and he sets up 2 golden calves for Israel to worship. Again, calf worship. Where are the calves coming from? Well, they learned it somewhere else. It steadily declines. I think we've already been here, so I apologize, but I'm going back to, I'm going to stick my hand in Deuteronomy 18, but I'm going to go back to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. And so the idolatry, it just continues on, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And again, verse 21 of 18, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, of thy God, I am the Lord. Verse 24, defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, talks, I already read that, so I won't go through that again. But listen, the idolatry got so bad where Israel began to do those things. And it didn't start, you know, Solomon didn't start off by sacrificing his sons and his daughters in the fire, right? It started a little by little, but before you know it, you have Ahaz, who is building an altar in Tophet in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. And the Bible calls that place, it says, it's no longer to be called the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Because they killed so many of their kids to this false god. I mean, could you imagine having a god that would require you to throw your child in the fire? Like, how ridiculous is that? It is so ridiculous. But again, that's what they were brought to. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll look at Ahaz for a second. But all of this stuff, if you look up Hinnom or Tophet, it's that valley right outside of Jerusalem, right outside of Jerusalem, right outside the temple, and there's atrocities being committed. Chapter 28 and verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Again, the constant reminders, hey, I kicked them out. You better be careful. Give me one second. There's the other account of this is in 2 Kings 16. But in 2 Kings 16:1, it says, or verse 3, it says, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Yea, he made his sons to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. If you will, go to 2 Kings 23. Go to 2 Kings 23. This verse is a little redundant, but verse 10, this is Josiah trying to clean out Israel with sin, but it says in verse 10, and he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. I mean, again, could you imagine having to like destroy something so that this won't happen again? I mean, it's just, it's insane. Verse 13, and the high places that were before Jerusalem were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Guys, that was 350 years ago. And this stuff is just sitting there. I mean, how was this not destroyed before? It's insane. But in Jeremiah, it says that they sacrificed to Baal and Molech. They allowed their children to walk through the fire. It was so bad that, you know what the Lord said? He goes, that never even entered my mind. Like, that's how wicked it was. So is the Lord really a control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser? What are you saying? So you're fine with like abortions that are outside of the womb? Well, of course you are. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? It's like, these guys say this stuff and it's just like, you have no clue what you're saying. You have no clue what you're saying. So look what happens to Israel. Israel does this. Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. And so just like the Amorites, the Lord got tired of them. And look what the Lord does to Israel. How could the Lord cast out Israel? Well, they completely defiled themselves. Verse 30, it says this. It says, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind. That's how bad it was. Now, this is not in the Bible, so I don't know exactly how far to take this, but I've read multiple sources where they would say that they created this huge molten god. And they said that his arms would be outstretched, and they would start that fire, and they would get that god basically glowing hot. And they said that they had like chains that would move the arms so it would make it seem like it was alive. But they said that they would open up the belly of that thing and throw their children in it and listen to them scream. What is your problem? You know, it's crazy. Verse 32, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. You know what the Lord does? He goes, okay, I'm done. The day's come. And you know what he did with Israel? I mean, it was so bad. Look at chapter 19. Look at chapter 19. You ever heard something so evil and it just kind of like gives you shivers? Like sends that weird feeling up your back? This is how the Lord describes that feeling. 19 verse 1, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate. So again, that tells you how close this thing is. And proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, hear the word of the Lord. Could you guys imagine being Jeremiah and having to tell your own people this? I mean, seriously, Jeremiah is probably one of the most manly men in the Bible. This guy is such a backbone. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. He goes, I'm getting ready to do something that is just going to make your ears tingle. Verse 4, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. I mean, they filled up that place with all those kids' blood. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And look what he says, I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword by their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives. And their carcasses will I give unto to be meat of the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. They disgusted the Lord so much, he says, I'm going to have absolutely no mercy on you. And listen, pretty soon, verse 11, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no burying place. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and make this city as Tophet. The houses of Jerusalem and the house of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven and poured out drink offerings unto their God. Listen, the Lord says, he goes, you want a sacrifice in this valley? He goes, you're gonna allow all your kids to be sacrificed here? He goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bury you here. I mean, you talk about reap what you sow. And listen, it's no joke what they did. And the Lord just says, I'm done. I am absolutely done. I mean, imagine how he feels about the country that we live in, as wicked as it is. I mean, we're not that far behind. I mean, it's kind of scary, because I was doing this and I was thinking, you know, and of course your mind goes to abortion, right? And you're like, wow, you know, and it's like, yeah, we're still a ways from that. And then it's like, wait, no, actually we're not that far off, really. Now, the Lord kicked out the inhabitants of the land. He kicked out Israel out of the land for that. Listen, after the Assyrians came in, after those 10 tribes were carried away, there has never been the 10 tribes of Israel living in Israel to this day. I mean, the Lord was disgusted with it so much where, I mean, how many, 2,000, almost what, 2,600 years later, the Lord is still saying, you ain't going to live here. I mean, he's bringing them back, don't get me wrong. But that sin was so bad, the Lord says, nope, not happening here. So that was interesting. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. So you have the Canaanites being punished, you have Israel being punished. Check this out. I thought this was kind of cool, because like I said, those false gods, they took on a spirit. They took on a wicked spirit, and that spirit is of course the devil. And so you have, look at verse 30 of chapter 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and he shall show the light lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger. Lord, what are you so angry about? You're already angry with the Canaanites. You're angry with the Israelites. Who are you angry with now? The one who really deserves the punishment. Look what it says. With the indignation of his anger and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and battles of shaking will he fight with it. And look what shows up all of a sudden. Wow, isn't that crazy? For Tophet is ordained of old. You know what the Lord says? He goes, oh, I'm going to use that place. Oh, that's what you want to do in that valley? Oh, you wanted to convince those people to sacrifice their sons and their I've got a place for you. He says, Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. You know what's crazy about that is the Lord picks probably the greatest type of the devil, the greatest type of the Antichrist, the Assyrian. And in that, you see the picture of the devil being thrown in hell. And the Lord likens hell to the valley of Tophet. Isn't that crazy? And so you have Canaanites punished, Israelites punished, but really in the end, the one that's going to be punished for is the devil. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. That devil's thrown into that pit never to get out. And you know, there are going to be no more sacrifices. The Lord's not going to have to worry about that anymore. So I wanted to talk about that. Now there's going back to the whole thing of this isn't in the Bible. So I say this, but I didn't have time to prove it. One interesting thing about the Valley of Hinnom was that is now called Gehenna. That is the area of the city, Gehenna. That is also, interestingly enough, one of the translations for the word hell. So we get hell from Gehenna. according to history, that was kind of like the city dump. And then the other weird connection with that was, it's suspected, I guess I'll say, you remember Judas went and he bought, what was it called, the Field of Blood? And it is supposed that Judas hung himself in Gehenna. He then fell down the hill and his bowels burst asunder, which makes me wonder if he also died in the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. I don't know, but I thought that was interesting. Again, that's not necessarily in the Bible, so yeah. But anyways, that one's always bothered me, even when I was a kid, you know, reading that, and man, trying to get, you know, sometimes in class, trying to get the kids to just realize the wickedness of, you know, of the Canaanites and stuff like that. You know, you say some of that, and hey, listen, like, that'll get people's attention. You know, I mean, I mentioned it recently, and one of them was like literally, like, her face was in shock, you know, and then I see it here, and it's just like, oh yeah, you know, like, why aren't we all shocked about this, you know? Sorry to get on you. That's kind of preaching now, so we'll stop. But anyways, all right, we'll go ahead and pray, and then I guess we will go ahead and sing one more song. Sorry, Caleb. Lord, we thank you for the night, and Lord, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, and I just pray that you would help us to trust you, Lord, and Father, I just pray that you would help us to not take in the filth of this world and learn their ways, Lord, and that we would not hold you in the same opinion that they hold you, Father. And we just thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.